Turn with me again to John, the 10th chapter, please. John, chapter 10. This 10th chapter of John is such a blessed, instructive portion of Scripture. I'm going to spend a little time in this chapter as we go through the book of John. This morning I want to talk to you, if God will enable me, about the sheep, the Lord's sheep. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. The whole human race is divided into two groups of people. And these two groups of people are distinguished variously in the Word of God. They're spoken of as the elect or the reprobate. They're spoken of as vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. And they're spoken of as sheep and goats. Sheep never become goats, and goats never become sheep. God's sheep are his sheep from eternity, and shall be his sheep for everlasting. There's no changing of God's purpose, his grace, or his works of grace. His purpose stands sure, and his people are safe and secure according to his purpose. I've been studying this matter of how the Lord's sheep became his sheep for a while. And I can find only four ways in which sheep become a man's possession legitimately. Sheep belong to a man if they are given to him, bestowed upon him by one who originally owned them. Turn over to John chapter 6, and you'll see that our Lord Jesus has his sheep by the gift of his Father. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, see the present tense? May God be pleased today to give some of his sheep to the Son. Giveth. Giveth in effectual grace. Giveth by giving them life and faith in Christ. All that the Father giveth me, he says, shall come to me. All of them, none missing, none but them. The only way the sheep ever come is if the Father gives them to the Son. Read on. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me. Whenever you read the Scriptures, always carefully mark the varying tenses. All which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. All who are God's sheep were given to the Lord Jesus Christ in everlasting covenant mercy as the good shepherd before the world began. The Father gives his sheep to the Son by the power of his Spirit in effectual calling. And the Father gave his sheep to his Son in everlasting love before the world began, trusting him as our surety and as our shepherd in eternal election. Sheep are made the possession of a man also by a lawful or legitimate purchase. Turn back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We belong to the good shepherd because the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus bought us with his precious blood. He bought the right to rule the world and dispose of the world. With him is plenteous redemption. But he bought us distinctly and particularly as his own property with his precious blood. He died for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. He owned you because he bought you out from under the curse of God's holy law. Because with his blood, he ransomed your soul. He bought us distinctly. He bought us lawfully by the price of divine justice being satisfied. He bought us particularly his sheep and none others. And he bought us effectually. With his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. But sheep belong to man another way. If a man owns sheep, and those sheep give birth to other sheep, then the sheep that are born belong to him. Well, how does that fit in? Listen to this, Isaiah 66, verse 2. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You mean, Brother Don, somehow we're connected with God saving his people? Yeah. He uses saved sheep to save his sheep. He uses such things as we are to give birth to his sheep. Oh, it's the work of God's Spirit, not our work. It's the gift of God's Spirit, not our gift. It's the performance and operation of God, not our performance and operation, but he uses such things as we are so that they may hear the word and be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. More than that, if a man leaves his sheep to another as an inheritance, those sheep are his, lawfully and rightfully. And our Lord Jesus tells us that we are the heritage of the Lord. We are his inheritance, given him by his Father. He said, ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. And he's given his sheep to his Son by his obedience unto death, because of his obedience, because he is the good shepherd. All right, now that's how a man obtains sheep. He obtains them by a gift. He obtains them by purchase. He obtains them by birth. And he obtains them by inheritance. That's how we are the Lord's sheep. But the scriptures speak distinctly about the Lord's sheep and what he does for his sheep and describes them in numerous ways. I can't begin to give you all of them. But let me name for you in the scriptures, Bible descriptions of the Lord's sheep. Turn to John chapter 15, verse 16. God's sheep are here described as those who are chosen of the Lord. The Master says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Chosen. Chosen of God, our Father, chosen by the good shepherd as his own sheep before ever the world was. Chosen in special, distinct, electing love. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let me show you again what this book teaches about God's election. Chosen sheep are those sheep the Father chose as the objects of His love and chose unto salvation in Jesus Christ before ever the world began. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him. He chose us in the Son. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He chose us to make us holy, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Chosen of God. I realize that folks these days look upon election and consider it some kind of a horrible thing. You dare not mention folks. It confuses people. They don't understand about it. They get upset with it. Not God's sheep. Talk to sheep about election. They love it. The Lord chose me. The Lord, imagine that. He chose you. He chose you. It's so silly how little folks understand about this book in our day. This really happened. Several years ago, a friend of mine, Ann Richards, lived in Fort Worth, Texas. Her son was out working in his yard one day, one Saturday, and somebody was out trying to buttonhole folks, get them to come to church, and he got tired of listening to them. Finally, he said to him, said, "You don't want me to come down there." "Oh, yeah, we'd love for you to." He said, "Well, tell me what does your church believe about election?" And the fellow looked at him so strange. Election. He said, "I'm not sure, but I think almost everybody down there is Republican." That's a true story. True story. That's how utterly ignorant folks are of this book. God's people, more than anything else in the New Testament, are called the elect. God's sheep are chosen sheep. But these chosen sheep, secondly, are straying sheep. We saw it just the other day. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Straying sheep. We went astray in our father Adam, and we go astray from the womb speaking lies. It is ever the nature of sheep to stray. That's just their nature. Just their nature. But that's not all. Not only did we stray from Him until He called us by His grace, stray from Him until He made us willing in the day of His power, even after being saved by His grace, Rex, it is ever the nature of sheep to stray. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Straying sheep. Let me see if I can illustrate it for you. If the Lord allows it, there's nothing you won't do right now. And justify yourself in doing it. And even when you know it's wrong, you won't recover from it. You'll never return except He return you. I think often of Brother Peter, that strong man. Bobby, few of the disciples ranked with Peter for strength. Few, if any. Few ranked with Peter for commitment, devotion, steadfastness. Few, few. People look at Peter and think he's somehow sort of a shifting fellow. Not at all. Oh, no, you misread Peter. Peter, in the tenor of things, he said, "Lord, I'll die for you." And he did. He did. Peter was a strong man as far as men go, but just sheep. Just a sheep. And the Lord Jesus warned him. He said, "Peter, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter denied the Master. And then he denied him again. And that rooster crowed. Mark, can you imagine the fear that must have stole over his heart? How he must have trembled when he heard that rooster crow. Oh, I think of that and I shake to think about it. And then it cussed and denied him again. Because that's what sheep do. They stray. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and we shall be turned. But only as he turns us. Turn to him only as he causes us to turn to him. And we keep our faces turned to him only as he keeps our faces turned to him. Sheep, being what they are, straying sheep, are redeemed sheep. Redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The people of God called sheep are distinguished from the goats, and they are redeemed by the Savior, redeemed by the shepherd, redeemed by his blood. So, well, that's true of all men. Oh, no. Oh, no. Listen to what he says here in John chapter 10, back here in the 10th chapter of John. Our Lord Jesus talks about this work of his grace he's done for his sheep. And the Pharisees heard him talking. He's talking to the Pharisees, and they said, the Jews round about him, then came the Jews round about him, verse 24, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. But Jesus answered and said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not. It doesn't end there, does it? Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You're not of my sheep. The Lord Jesus did not lay down his life for the goats and the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. And the sheep believe him as a result of him laying down their life for them. And the goats believe not because they're goats. The Lord Jesus redeemed us with his precious blood. And the sheep are called. Back here in verse 2. He entereth in by the doors, the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. That looks kind of special, doesn't it? He calleth his own sheep by name. What's that mean? He calls and says, Don? No. Calls and says, Donald Stewart? No. He calls and says, Donald Stewart Fertner? You know, believe it or not, there's even another one of them. Nope, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. He calls in such a way that you know he called you. He calls in such a way that you hear his voice. And when you hear his voice, you know he's called you. He calls his own sheep by name. All ye labor and are heavy laden. I know that. Sinner, come and welcome to the Savior. I know that day. But still, when the shepherd calls, his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. The Lord Jesus come by the power of his Spirit, by the gospel of his grace, and calls his sinners, chosen, redeemed sheep, to hear his voice and come to him. And they all come. We call it irresistible grace. We call it sovereign grace. This irresistible call of God the Holy Spirit. Back in, is it 2 Samuel 7? David describes it as fetching. Fetching. You remember how David was looking for any who were left of the house of Jonathan or the house of Saul, that he might bless him for Jonathan's sake. And this fellow named Ziba said, there's one man left, a fellow named Mephibosheth down in Lodibar. He's lame on both his feet, but he's one of Jonathan's sons. And David the king said to Ziba, his servant, fetch him. Fetch him. Ah, that's a good word. I love it. Fetch him. Fetch him. We don't use it much anymore. We ought to use it more often. Fetch him. That doesn't mean go down there and ask if he wants to come. The king sent a command. He said, fetch him. That doesn't mean go down there and offer him an opportunity to sit as one of the king's sons at the king's table. That means fetch him. That doesn't mean go down there and ask him if he pretty please will come. Ziba goes down there and he says, Mephibosheth, King David sent me to get you. Can you imagine how Mephibosheth must have trembled? Can you imagine what horror must have seized his mind? He knew that all his family had been slain. He knew he was the only living heir to Saul's throne. He knew it. He knew it. He's the only one standing in David's way, if any could stand in David's way. Oh, how he must have shook when he was brought and sat down before King David. That's how he got there, wasn't it? Is that how he got there? How else you reckon he got there? He was lame on both his feet. Somebody picked the man up and carried him in and sat him down before David. And when they did, David spoke kindly to Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth understood, he's talking to me. He commanded Ziba to serve Mephibosheth. Commanded that Mephibosheth be made to feed at the king's table as one of the king's sons. Adopted him into his family. And there he sat all the days of his life. It's called fetching grace. The Lord Jesus came to a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a religious fellow, tax collector, a publican. And he was a little fellow, so he couldn't see over the crowds. He climbed up in a tree, curiously wondering who this man was, this great miracle worker everybody was talking about. And the Lord Jesus came right to where Zacchaeus was, and he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I must abide at your house. And he explained it this way, for he too is a son of Abraham. He's one of God's chosen. He's one of God's chosen. And if the Lord calls you, your being called doesn't make you one of his sheep. Your being called makes manifest you're one of his sheep. When the Lord calls you, that doesn't change you from a goat to a sheep. Oh no, that just makes manifest that you're one of those sheep given to Christ before the world began. Oh, Son of God, send your spirit down and call your sheep. Now look at this. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. Or they hear his voice and they follow him. Look at verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them and the sheep follow him. They follow him. They follow his word, follow his will, follow his spirit, follow his example. They follow him. They follow him. Sheep follow the shepherd. That's their nature. They follow the shepherd. Oh, but they're stray. They follow the shepherd because they need him. They follow the shepherd because they got to have him. They follow the shepherd because he makes them follow. He makes them follow. Somewhere years ago, I don't remember where I read it, how I came to learn it. But I heard that in old days when shepherds, and I suppose in lands where they still tend flocks like this, shepherds go before their flocks with a rod and staff. They use the staff to tap the sheep and keep them in line and keep them from straying. Just tap them on the butt and keep them in line. And if the sheep just kept straying, and the shepherd had to go get that sheep and go get that sheep, go get that sheep, just couldn't keep a little lamb in line. He'd take that long staff and break its leg. Just break its leg. And then he'd splint it, and the shepherd carried that sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 11. The shepherd carried that sheep until his leg was healed. That sheep had been up there in the shepherd's arms, next to his heart, all this time, everywhere he went. Takes the splint off, puts the sheep down, and just can't keep him off his feet. He's there at him all the time. That's what our Savior does for us. He chastens his own and makes us follow him. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for such sweet grace. He says, they know the shepherd's voice. And the stranger's voice, they don't know. A stranger they won't follow. Goats are religious creatures too. Goats, however, follow every wind of doctrine. Goats are led astray by everything that comes down the pike. Goats just, every strange sound, they pick it up. And they'll follow after it. Not the sheep. They follow the shepherd and know his voice alone. You have an unction from the Holy One, John said, 1 John chapter 2. And you know all things. You don't need somebody to tell you the truth from error. You know it. You know what you hear something and say, man, that has the clanging sound of free will to me. That's probably what it is. And that sounds like works to me. It probably is. What was that? Oh, that free grace. I know that sound. That's marvelous mercy. I know that sound. That's goodness and mercy. I know that sound. You know all things. You just know because you're taught of God's Spirit. You have an unction from the Holy One, an anointing that abideth on you. And that unction, that anointing, is the Spirit of God. You have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. So that you discern all things. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Not only are the sheep knowing creatures, they are known. The Lord Jesus said, I know my sheep. I know them with an everlasting love. I know them by divine purpose. I know them so as to approve of them and delight in them. I know them inasmuch as I watch over them and care for them. I know my sheep and am known of mine. And the sheep, once they're called by the shepherd, are folded sheep. Turn over to Isaiah 34. Let me see if I can find this in Isaiah chapter 34. Sheep are brought into the fold by the shepherd. Now I realize that in this day, there are lots of folks who belittle and deride the ordinances of our God. They belittle and deride local churches, the fold of the sheep. But I'll tell you what I've observed. The only time you ever see sheep by themselves, the only time you ever see sheep by themselves are when they're lost or real sick. Otherwise, sheep stay together. It's just part of their nature. They stay together. And when the Lord God calls his sheep, he brings them into the fold. The shepherd always brings them into the fold. Look here in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among them, his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the high mountains of Israel by the rivers in the all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountain of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. The Lord Jesus brings his sheep into the fold and causes them to lie down safely. And here he feeds them on the high mountains of Israel, on the gospel of God's free grace, causes them to lie down peacefully and secure. They're his sheep. They're his sheep. And being in the fold is part of their blessed sense of security. They're his sheep. And the sheep are secure. Look at John chapter 10 again, verse 28. John chapter 10. In Ezekiel 20, the Lord says, I'll cause you to pass under the rod. I'll bring you into the fold and bring the sheep into the fold and just pass under the rod. He counts them as they go in. Make sure they're all in the fold. I'll cause you to pass under the rod. Now look here in verse 28, John chapter 10. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What does that mean? Why does the Lord Jesus talk like this? Nobody can pluck them out of my hand. No man's ever plucked them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The security of the sheep is the triune God. God's purpose of grace cannot be broken. The blood of Christ cannot be wasted. The Spirit's seal can never be broken. We are kept by the power of God, all his sheep, unto life everlasting, kept unto eternal glory. And then there's one other word that's used to describe the Lord's sheep. Look at verse 16. And other sheep I have. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. What does that mean? Must bring? Skip, is there something that he must do? That God the Son must do? Oh yes. Remember, he's Jehovah's servant. He's the good shepherd. And the Father gave the sheep to him. Gave the sheep to him to bring to glory. Gave the sheep to him to search out and find and bring home again with himself. And he must bring them, else he fails as the shepherd. You see, the salvation of the sheep doesn't depend on the sheep. Doesn't depend on anything sheep do. Doesn't depend on anything the sheep choose to do or not to do. The salvation of the sheep doesn't depend on you or on me. It depends on the shepherd. As a matter of fact, it's his responsibility. I remember Brother Harry Graham, folks want to argue and fuss about human responsibility. And I recognize men are responsible to obey God. I understand that. But when all get down to nuts and bolts of the thing, Brother Harry Graham was talking to me. He said, I'll tell you about responsibility. He said, it's our response to his ability. The salvation of the sheep is the shepherd's responsibility. If you're one of these other sheep are just as surely his as the folded sheep. These other sheep have been his from eternity, just as all the sheep who are in the fold. These other sheep he shall fetch. If you're his sheep, he's going to get you. He's going to get you. He may destroy your world, but he'll get you. He'll get you. And when he does, you'll be thankful he destroyed your world to get you. He'll get you. If you're his sheep, these other sheep, them also I must bring to myself, and must bring to glory. Because the glory of the triune God and the glory of the shepherd as the good shepherd is wrapped up all together in the sheep. All his glory is in the sheep. Who ever heard tell of a shepherd without sheep? What a lousy shepherd that'd be. Oh no, them also I must bring. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, let's turn to this very, very familiar text in Psalm 23. I want you to turn there with me and read it. I know you can memorize, got it memorized and you can recite it. I want you to read it. Long time ago, there was an actor who was assigned at some great theater to read the 23rd Psalm. And he read it, I suppose, like Alexander Scorby would read it. He read it well, read it beautifully. And folks were astounded at his reading of the psalm. It was just so precise and so well read. And that actor and one of his friends were walking down the street and heard a man in a little chapel stumbling through the psalm and reading it. And when he got done, the congregation rose to pray. Every eye in the building was wet with tears. And this fellow looked at this actor and said to him, I don't understand. He said, what? He said, you read that psalm last night and folks clapped. This man read the psalm and folks are crying. He said, what's the difference? And the man said, I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. Oh, God make you to know the shepherd so that you can read this psalm as David wrote it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.